Hey everyone, it's your host of the Miles House Podcast, Hunter. I just want to give you guys a fair warning that this episode has a lot of explicit content, including obscene language and explicit topics that may not be suitable for everybody. And if you don't want to listen or hear that type of stuff, then now is your chance to click off the episode. But I will say, this is probably my top three episodes that I've ever made, so hope you guys enjoy. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Miles House Podcast. I'm your host, Hunter B. Gunn, and today we have our alumni guest, Allison Mitchell. It's been a long time, but I remember you being at Miles House. I remember your show. It's one of my favorites because I love storytelling. How are you doing today?
Well, thank you for that. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm pretty good. It's been a long day. This is the latest recording of a podcast I've done so far. And it's only 8:30. I prefer when people sign up for this time, honestly, because I come alive at 12 a.m. But this is not a bad time. This is getting towards my come alive time.
I understand that. I'm a little bit of a night owl myself.
Yeah, so much nicer out here. It's dark outside. Just like no one's gonna bother you.
Yeah, it's quiet.
You know, no one's gonna knock on your door unless something bad's happening. So then that's when someone comes to knock my door at this time of night, usually not very excited for it.
But, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so if you could tell the viewers a little bit about your art.
I am a actor, writer, director, podcaster type person. I have a couple podcasts that I record with a couple friends, but primarily my focus is writing. I'm working on two separate television series right now. I have two web series that I've completed both first seasons for, and I think both of them are going to last about two or three seasons, give or take. And I started outlining a feature film, which is something I've never written on my own before. So that's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, that's very cool. We have very similar careers in terms of like, I'm not really a writer, more of the like capturing what's going on and director type person. But you always need a writer to come up with a good story for me to be able to do my job, honestly.
Yeah. And I should specify, when I say director, I mean theater director. I'm not a film director. I do not know how to do that.
Still impressive. Congratulations on the web series, by the way. I remember you reading us a few of the episodes before they really manifested into reality.
Yeah, thank you. I actually am hoping to link up with a friend of mine from college and hopefully start filming. Not the one that I read at Ma's house, but the other one that I'm working on. Hopefully we can get a sort of like teaser filmed or like a pilot episode shot, and then I can upload it and, you know, crowdfund for people to get me to make more so I can pay people.
Very cool. Something I'm also doing right now, there's this one web series I've been I've joined their production team, the producer team, I guess. And one of the hardest parts is getting things like that funded, honestly.
Yeah.
Lots of calls to people that have no idea what's going on.
It's hard. Yeah. It's really difficult. It's tough.
It is. It's been a very learning experience because it's basically being like a salesman, but for your own thing. And there's nothing really to sell besides, like, there's no product that they can hold in their hands. They have to have they have to be able to see your vision, and it's hard sometimes to articulate what your vision is to someone who has no idea what it is.
Yeah. I feel like writing, anything creative is like that Fort Minor song. Remember the name?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will. Like all that breakdown, that's exactly that's how it is.
I actually love that song. I've watched so many Dragon Ball Z anime music videos when I was like 10 years old to that song.
All the AMVs.
I've probably seen thousands. Honestly, people who are listening, I used to have a website when I was in middle school.
and had all these like games on it for people, and one page was dedicated to Dragon Ball Z AMVs, and like four of them had that song.
Oh, that's so cool and so cute. I love anime, but I'm not a big Dragon Ball fan. The only AMVs I would watch that were anime related were like Full Metal Alchemist and Naruto. Mm-hmm.
Those are some of my favorite too. I started in Dragon Ball and then Naruto. I actually didn't like Naruto when I was really young. I was like, this is stupid. They're just ninjas. And then I watched it and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Definitely inspired. There's some Dragon Ball elements, but it's its own thing and it's pretty amazing. And then Full Metal Alchemist. You haven't seen Full Metal Alchemist?
Oh, yeah, I have.
I mean, I know you have. If anyone listening has not seen that show, it is amazing. Definitely one of the best out there.
Yeah. I would say watch both. Watch Full Metal and Brotherhood, but if you just want to watch Brotherhood, that's okay too.
Full Metal is so confusing, though.
It's not confusing for me until like the end part.
The end is bizarre.
Yeah, because that's when I'm like, okay, they caught up and they just made up their own thing.
Yeah. For some people who don't know, the writers of anime is usually based on a book, called manga. And sometimes the show gets ahead of what the author is writing, and they have to make their own thing. And the original Full Metal Alchemist I would say they jumped the shark on that.
Yeah.
The end of that one. But the next version they made is one of the best. I think that was amazing.
It's so good. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I'm not sure how we started talking about anime, but I'm hoping to have my own anime. And I actually saw speaking of Dragon Ball, there was a new movie that came out yesterday.
And oh, really?
Yeah. I rushed to go see that because I've been dying to see it.
Was it good?
I really loved it. It started actually my favorite characters. It wasn't the main characters. It's like some side characters now.
So, oh, that's cool.
Yeah. It was very cool. The main Goku and Vegeta were not even mentioned basically for like the entire movie till the very end. So
that's cool. Fun. I like that's different. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they kind of, anime doesn't do great in America. So I'm hoping this does well. So we get more things like that in the theaters.
One of the last anime movies I saw was Jujutsu Kaisen Zero, and that was really good.
Really? I've been wanting to get into that, honestly.
It's a good anime, and the movie was good, too. Yeah, I love Jujutsu Kaisen.
That's the one with the finger eating, right? That's
their
powers? Yeah, I've seen a few clips of that.
Yeah, the fucking finger eating.
It's a little gross, but it seems very cool. I saw that one, I guess they're brothers, not exactly sure. They didn't look alike, but they were, like, clapping. And they were, like, teleporting. I thought that was really cool.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Well.
They're cool.
I think anime is, like, the ultimate medium for people like us because we can do things that you can't do in live action.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've always wanted to have my own type of animated show at some point.
Yeah, I've been thinking. I've pondered a couple times about having an animated show. It wouldn't be anime, but just something animated.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Same here. Scouring Fiverr for people that can make an episode for me. But no avail. They're all too expensive so far. But like, and I want to spend a good amount of money, so I'll save that for later because I want it to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll segue back into what the podcast is supposed to be about. But how did you find Ma's house?
I found Ma's house because my best friend sent me the application. My best friend, Brian, actually works for the Watermelon Center, which I'm sure, as you know, is right down the street from Ma's house, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Brian's worked there for a while now. And they noticed that Jeremy had applications open. And they sent me the link and encouraged me to apply. So I did. And I you're a creative type. You apply to things. You apply to a lot of things just as like, you know, I'm going to apply. If I get in, great. If I don't, whatever. And I applied and Jeremy eventually got back to me. We had an interview and I was accepted for a residency.
Very cool. I can't believe Jeremy's sister, Kelly, got married at the Watermelon Center.
Oh yeah, Ryan talks about Kelly. He mentions Kelly every once in a while. Has some funny stories about Kelly.
Well, I have a funny story about Kelly too. I just texted Kelly the other day. I said, Kelly, do you want to go see the Dragon Ball movie with me? She left me on read. Didn't even respond.
But, oh no!
Yeah, but it's okay. It's okay. I forgave her. She was not feeling well, and she's very, very busy. So I was like, you know what, Kelly?
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
All is forgiven.
Good.
Yeah. So, do you do any other forms of art besides writing?
I guess if you consider acting an art, then yes.
Yes, definitely. 100%.
Yeah.
So, what do you prefer, writing or acting?
I don't know, honestly. Each one scratches a different itch, because when I'm acting, it's me physically being somewhere, and you know, I slip into another character, a lot of actors, let me rephrase. I really love live theater because it's magic, at least to me. Mm. That's how I've always described it. Because if something happens that, you know, you rehearse these things hundreds of times, and the day of the performance when everything is live, anything could go wrong. So if something changes, something is not where it's supposed to be or whatever, you have to, you know, deal with that on the fly in the moment. And when those things happen, and when they are not absolutely terrifying, because for a split second, you're like, oh my God, my prop isn't where it needs to be, and I have to go on stage right now, or he just missed his line, so where are we in the script, or something like that. When it's not, you know, those initial 20 seconds of being absolutely terrifying, the rest of it is beautiful. Like, I can remember one time in, not to, you know, go on a tangent, but in theater class in high school, we were doing a scene from Romeo and Juliet for a bunch of other people in the school. And we were doing fight choreography. And if anyone knows about fight choreography, it's very meticulous. You know, you step one, two, three, four, you go at a certain speed over a course of weeks. And you have a weapon, you have to play with all that stuff. It's really, really, you know, plotted out so no one gets hurt. Two of the actors had blades. One of the actors, like, his blade fell into the orchestra pit. So one of the other actors had to sort of improvise how he was going to end the fight scene. And it's, to date, one of the coolest things I've ever seen, because you could tell in that moment they had worked on the fight for a long time. They trusted each other. They knew what they were doing, and that he just ended it in a way that, like, made sense. So that's what I mean when I say theater is magic. So that scratches another itch. Like, when the audience is there and live and everyone's, like, breathing together and they're all laughing at the same jokes, there's nothing like that. Because you can feel that energy, just like when you can feel the audience isn't with you on the journey. And that's when it's like a fucking slog. Pardon my French. I have a sailor mouth. Potty mouth.
This will be our explicit podcast. I always put things explicit anyway. So it's fine.
Yeah. So that's what I mean when I say acting is, you know, sort of like scratching a different itch versus writing. It's like I have so many ideas in my head that I want to see play out on the screen, whether I'm in that TV show or in that movie or somebody else's. You know, I want to, my purpose with writing is to create stories and characters for particularly queer BIPOC individuals. We don't get to see our stories out and about on TV and in the movies where it's not just explicitly focused on being Black and queer, you know, or being brown and queer. And it's just like this whole sort of fucking tragedy. And then, you know, it's like, oh, we have to overcome. Like, no. Sometimes Black queer people just want to sit down and eat a grilled cheese, and I think that's enough.
Yeah, 100%. I thought your readings were so interesting when I was
oh, thank there. You.
It was like a portal into another world in your mind. It was pretty amazing. I felt like I was in, like, I could almost see what was going on. So I thought that was great.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot. Yeah. I always get nervous sharing my work. Yeah, I always get nervous acting too. It's nerve-wracking.
When I was in high school and middle school, and when I actually had those types of theater classes and after-school activities readily available to me, I wish I knew I wanted to be an artist back then. because I would have taken them. Because now I kind of want to be do some sort of acting. At least I want to move sometimes from the behind the camera to in front of the camera and know what I'm doing.
Yeah. I mean, there are classes available. I'm going to rep some place. I took classes at a place where my other best friend graduated from, Stella Adler Conservatory. They do both in-person classes, but those are all the way in Manhattan. But they do offer, I think, online acting courses. I took like an online intensive, because COVID was and still is a thing. Took an online intensive, and that was so great. So highly recommend.
That sounds pretty cool. I'm not sure how much I want to do in-person acting, but I guess so I've been in contact with this TV station, and they're interested in possibly moving this podcast to like a show, because they've been looking for like a Native American oriented thing.
That's so exciting.
I know. I'm very excited for it. I'm actually
congratulations.
Thank you. I'm going to go see the studio on Thursday. I mean, it's only public access, and I say that like, oh, it's only public access, but like,
that's still a big fucking deal.
So I want to, I'm not sure how nervous to be in front of the camera, like just as myself, but if I create a character for myself to like play.
Oh yeah.
While interview, because I kind of want to do like a skit into an interview like this kind of, but this is kind of more of a conversation. It's what's this podcast turning into, just both of us talking. So I was hoping that once I come up with a character, I will not care as much as I'm perceived, because that's not really me. That's just my character I'm playing. But I also have to make sure that's portrayed properly. People don't think I'm just insane on camera.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And then not all the artists want to be in front of the camera like that, because I know most people are more comfortable with this. We're just talking, and no one has to see what they look like.
Yeah.
Or what they're doing while they're talking. But I think if I'm nervous, my guest will be like, oh my god, he's nervous. What's happening? I'm nervous now. So I had to figure out a way to become some sort of not nervous rock. But yeah, I'm going to change the format for the show. It's going to be much more fun with like some skits. Yeah, very excited for that. Hopefully that comes to fruition. I'm not sure how to say that word properly.
That's really fucking awesome. Is there going to be a live audience? Can I come to a taping?
You might be able to. I actually had an idea for that. I don't think anyone's going to come. So one of my jokes is going to be, I was going to have like an applause button, and I'll be like, oh, thanks for the audience. You guys are great. And then I'm going to click the button, and then the camera's going to like pan to the audience. And it's just a wall of the other camera guy. And then it's just going to be me thanking everybody as if someone's there.
I love that. That's funny. But if I can't come to a live taping, I would love to.
Yeah. I mean, I had to see the studio. They said they want me to come in to like get the creative juices flowing. Because honestly, when I called them, I was like, oh man, I wasn't sure what to expect for public access. Because it seems like they want it to be, in my head, I was like, this has to be educational and no fun and whatnot. But from what I could tell, it seems that the guy is generally interested and would prefer it be more like funish.
That's awesome.
More creative, just creative freedom. So hopefully that happens. And then I would bring the artist in residence that we have. Be like, okay, today's the day, we got to go down. And I would like prep them. And I know some of them will be more nervous than others.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But if I do like something, I guess, something that I would call crazy. Like, I don't know, have you ever seen the Eric Andre show before?
Yeah, when you were describing the whole, like, becoming a character thing, that's immediately who I thought of was Eric Andre.
I really love comedy, and I think that's one of my stronger points in my artistry, in my storytelling, is comedic. So I'm hoping that I can kind of bring, I'm not going to be like him, because that's probably too much for public access. But if I could just take 1 or 2% of that character and add it to what I'm doing, like breaking the desk every 10 minutes, just unexpectedly, would help the artist be like, oh, okay, so he's doing whatever he's doing. I can be myself and not he's weirder than me, so people won't care as much about me.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, I understand that. That sounds really, really fun.
Okay, I hope so. Okay, so enough about me for now. So what were some of your favorite moments while at Ma's house?
I was lucky enough to be there while the powwow was happening.
Oh.
So Jeremy said I could go because I wasn't going to go if I wasn't invited. And I went and it was so fucking cool. I still have the videos and the pictures on my phone, and I shared them with my uncle because he was really interested in what I was doing at the time. So I shared them with him. Like, I thought all of the ceremonial outfits were beautiful. I bought soap from a vendor and I used it. Yeah. I love that soap. I hope I still have one so I can find her website and order more soap, because that soap fucking slapped. My boyfriend actually used one of those soaps and he was like, this is great. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I had fry bread, which I loved and I crave. And I just thought it was really beautiful and really unique. And I have never gone to a powwow before. And I felt really honored that I got to go. And I just thought it was really interesting just watching everyone interact that lives there. And I could tell everyone really like knew each other, loved each other. And it was just really fun. And I was glad that I went.
You know, so this year, I guess, is our first year open to the public again. So if you have a chance to, Labor Day weekend, you should come back and see how different it is.
Oh, because yeah.
There's like thousands of people, I mean, not all at the same time, but thousands of people come and go. And it is one of my favorite. And the fry bread,
that's special. The fry bread is so good. Mm-hmm. It was so important.
It was. I one time put salt on fry bread by mistake. I thought it was sugar when I was younger. And my mom's like, oh, here you go. Go buy some fry bread. So I poured salt on them without knowing. And I just remember her taking a bite, look on her face in horror. Like, what have I done to it? It was something I'll never forget.
Oh, I love that. That's so cute. I have a story about one time how my mom, I made her something for Mother's Day. And it was it was burnt. But not a lot burnt, but just a little burnt. My mom doesn't do burnt food. So she was like, remake this.
Jeez. Yeah. I had to go buy her some new fry bread. I couldn't. It was a mess. So, how does your way of making art change when you're on a residency? How does your art change when you're on a residency than when you're at home? Like, your process?
Well, Ma's house is the only residency I've ever done so far. Unfortunately, I wish I could do more. But when I was in the residency, I just felt like I had so much more freedom, you know, like I wasn't bogged down by work or by life or what have you. I could just sit there and write all day and listen to music and write, or watch, have something like a movie or a TV show on in the background and write. And I felt just so much better. I felt more organized. So I guess my process was just like, while being in the residency, was just sort of, you know, like, I felt like I had very, like, more specific goals. Like, I could sit there and be like, okay, today I'm going to write an episode of this web series. And that was my goal for the day. Versus when I'm at home, I feel like my goal is like, I'm going to write at least 5 pages of one episode versus me writing a whole entire episode. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I only say like 5 pages just because I want to get something written down for the day. I'm trying this new thing where I write every day or like every other day. So like, even if it's like 5 pages, 2 pages, like a sentence, then I feel good just because, you know, I have to work, I have to come home clean, I have to do this, blah, yada, yada, yada. Life, a boring adult shit. Residency, it just felt like that that sort of weight of everyday life was lifted off my shoulders. So I felt like I had a lot more creative freedom.
Very interesting. Everyone always describes their process very differently. our processes are slightly similar.
Okay.
We do with music for me. Music's one of my inspirations, like kind of like an exercise what I'll do. I'll like come up with music videos because if a song speaks to me and I get inspired, then I feel like, oh, that's great music. And then I start having like visions of music videos. So that's kind of how I started my artistic journey.
Oh, what's your favorite genre? Genres.
Let's see. My top three are hip hop, mostly boom bap. For any hip hop heads, know what that is. It's like 90s hip hop. Yeah. And then classic rock. And then reggae those are my top three.
Reggae. I was not expecting that out of the three. I like that.
I don't listen to it as often as the other two, but honestly, I'm mostly just hip hop right now. But then I'll be like, oh, let's switch it up.
Yeah.
Classic rock. And then honestly, because of Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
My dad, I got exposed to that when I was like 8, and I was like, this music's pretty cool. So that was my first favorite for like hip hop.
Okay.
And then reggae, because I think it's so chill. Just like, well, if I'm just hanging out, just relaxing, and be like, oh, time to throw in some reggae.
Yeah.
Which is always nice.
Yeah. I think our processes are kind of similar because as you were describing the listening to music and music videos type thing, when I listen to music just sort of absentmindedly while I'm working or driving or whatever, I get like visions of scenes for things I haven't written yet, all based around a song. So I'm like, oh, I got to go home and write that. Or like, I really need to think about that. See how I can incorporate this song into this scene.
When I get my best ideas when I'm driving, I don't understand why.
It's me too. Meditation. I know, isn't it? It's very soothing to just sort of like, you know, like you're paying attention, obviously. Yeah. But
you're also in the zone somehow. I don't.
Yeah.
It's weird to this because driving is you have to pay attention to the road, but then your brain is also. It's like your brain separates itself into two things, doing two things at the same time. Multitasking is very real for artists.
Yeah, it is. I do it all the time. My little home office setup, I have my laptop screen, and then I have a little like monitor screen. So I'll just like bounce around from the two.
I'm waiting to get. Been thinking about getting a second monitor, just to be able to spread out more. Because I feel like things get very cluttered on one when you're bouncing from all different windows. Like, oh, I need this file, I need that file. So I do a lot of editing. And second window seems like it'd be very beneficial to me.
Oh yeah, especially if you do a lot of editing, for sure.
So I know we talked about this a little bit. We were just talking about it, but what are some of the things that inspire you to create and write?
Kind of like what I said earlier, just like, you know, writing for queer BIPOC folk. What I always say and what I think I put in my my little like essay that I had to write for my Ma's House application was, I'm writing for little me, you know, little Allie who was watching TV or watching a movie or watching something or reading something. It was like, where am I? Like, you see all these other people, you see all these white people. And it's like, okay, I like this shit too. But where am I? Especially because I, like we were talking about anime, I love anime, I love comic books, I love sci-fi, and these are traditionally, like all nerdy shit, and these are areas traditionally dominated by white people, i.e. white men. And it's like, I love Dungeons and Dragons, like I love all these things, but I never see myself represented in any of these things. And growing up, that I was always looking for that representation. Even if the media was quote unquote bad or like not critically acclaimed, if I saw like a brown girl in it, I was like, yeah, that's for me. I like that. That like I can be in there too, you know? So I'm writing for little me at my heart, but I'm also writing for other people who feel that way. It's like, I like nerd shit. I like this. I like that. Where am I in these things? Oh, here I am.
Yeah. That actually brings up like a distant memory in my head that the first time I ever saw any representation for Native American in media was actually in anime. And of course, it was actually in Dragon Ball. One of the characters was like a side character. The main character ran into some Native Americans, and they were like the guards of this ancient artifact. And a bunch of white people actually came in and like killed some of them, one. And he was the first person to ever be like wished back with the Dragon Balls, which is what the show was about. So I always thought that was pretty amazing. So I was like, so that's interesting. That's interesting. Maybe that's why I like that show so much. First time I saw anyone that looked like me.
The way you were describing Dragon Ball makes me want to watch it. I've been vehemently against watching Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z. I tried Dragon Ball Kai. Is that the one where they take out all the filler?
Yeah.
Yeah, I started watching that and I was just like, this is a lot. But I'm also watching One Piece right now. So.
Oh my God. Yeah.
It's clearly not a lot for me.
The original, like the first story of Dragon Ball is definitely worth your time. And if you like, because that's completely different than the Dragon Ball Z. That's a more like comedy. It's like Journey to the West, basically. It's like the original story of Wukong. It's just a monkey boy. That's basically who it's, what it's about.
Okay. I might give it a shot.
Mm-hmm. It's a little dated, not going to lie. Sometimes, like looking back now, I'm like, how they let that on TV? But it was pretty good. It was okay. Like, yeah, still good. Holds up, but a little dated, not going to lie.
Yeah, some things are.
Yeah. Good representation, sometimes not so good. So let's see. How long have you been making art? How long have you been writing for? Like all your life?
Pretty much. I can remember one of my oldest memories was sitting down and using an old school notebook and trying to plot out a murder mystery novel. And I wrote the first chapter. And my dad was visiting one day and I was like, here, read this. And he was like, oh, it's good. I'm excited to see where it goes. And I was like, yeah, really? And then I never finished it. But it was, I'm notorious for that. It's terrible, but at least I finished some shit. But it was about two little girls trying to solve a murder of one of their elderly neighbors. But I think I was about like 7, 8, 9. I don't remember the exact age, but basically I've been writing all my life. There were times where I would, you know, take a break because school, work, whatever, mental illness, what have you, where I was just like wiped and I couldn't. But even when I was not physically writing, I've always been writing in my head. I have so many stories in my head. It's just about, you know, sitting down, plotting them out and all that stuff. But I've been writing like a TV show in my head that I'm not even writing right now for years. I've been writing, you know, like... I've been writing.
That's very interesting. When did you, was there like a moment when you're like, I'm going to be an artist, or did you kind of just know always?
That's a really great question. I don't know if I knew always. You know, when you're a kid, you put on little performances and stuff. And my best friend and I used to do that a lot. So I knew that was something I was interested in, but I think when I was in seventh grade, my teacher decided that he wanted to do like a Halloween play. And I was like, oh, I'm interested in that. And he was like, okay, you can be this character, write your own scene. Oh. I was like, oh, okay. So I wrote a monologue and a scene, and then other people wrote monologues and scenes, and he sort of like smushed them all together and made it a story. But that's when I was on stage. I had to memorize the lines, and like I had props, there's costumes, my friends were like my other scene partners. So like that was when I knew that, like, there were lights and everything. That was when I knew it was like, okay, this is something that I really like and is really fun and it brings me a lot of joy.
Very cool.
So maybe around like seventh grade.
Yeah. So when back then, do you remember back then what your dream was as an artist?
I think back then my dream was to just keep going and see how far it takes me. That's still my dream now. I don't like, I have a vision board with certain things on it, or like I have certain goals that I would like to hit, but I think my goal has always just been like, just keep going and see how far it takes you. Like, isn't this just going to be fun? Like, the journey is just going to be fun.
Do you see yourself somewhere now, or are you just, you know, wherever I end up, I end up?
I ideally would like to see myself with me and my best friend, Tony, owning a production company. And, you know, producing movies, TV shows, podcasts, all sorts of media revolving around basically what I was saying, what I have been saying, which is just like queer BIPOC folks. So that's my ultimate, you know, dream in my heart. And, you know, as I'll have the company and I'll get to act in things on the side or direct in things on the side. And just I want to be able to be constantly creating, even if I'm not personally starring in it. I want to be able to have that freedom to be like, I want to work on a podcast, a fictional podcast today, and just do it.
Very cool. Could you actually tell us a little bit about some of the podcasts you're doing now?
Yeah, so none of the podcasts that I'm doing now are fictional. But I have a podcast with my best friend Tony called The Black Nerd Project. We're going through a little bit of a revamp because we started this podcast way back in 2016. It's just the two of us as two queer black women talking about nerd shit. You notice a trend. So like, we'll talk about movies, TV shows. We did a top five movie soundtrack episode way back when. We did like a whole Luke Cage episode when the first season dropped way back when, and things like that. And then the other podcast that I am working on is called the Tiggle Bitties Podcast. And that one is a comedy podcast mainly focusing on relations between others. I'm trying to keep it PG-13, but it's a comedy sex podcast. So we'll talk about like one of our topics was Hoochie Daddy season. You know, guys walking around in Hoochie Daddy shorts, really short shorts, and things like that. So that one we just talk about silly shit.
Yeah, now I feel like my shorts are too short.
They're never too short. They're never too short.
I actually, one thing I always make fun of I have this one white friend who's becoming a lawyer, and one day he just started wearing the shortest shorts ever.
And good for him.
I will never, never look at him the same. It was, very intensely short. Leave it at that.
I respect that. As a person who also wears very intensely short shorts, I respect it.
I just make fun of her. Like, because every year they get a little shorter. Like,
that's how you got to do it.
Yeah, they get. I'm like, he's like, he comes in, he's like, yep, I got some new ones. I'm like, how did he find a shorter pair than what you already had? Every year he amazes me with somehow getting a shorter pair of shorts.
Good for him.
Yeah, I mean, good for him, bad for me. In the end, it's okay. I don't care. I
still love Maybe them, you need some shorter shorts.
My shorts are already short enough. No, these are actually, I think I'm literally wearing my shortest shorts right now, probably. Actually, I was at the gym yesterday, and I was like, my shorts are too short. I don't like this. But, yes.
They can never be too short.
Because I was like on the bike, and I was like, oh my God, this is, my thighs are exposed. This is not okay.
Yes, expose the thighs.
I didn't want to force people to look at my thighs. I was like, oh my God.
It's Hoochie Daddy season. Yeah, that's we're here for. I want to see thighs.
I don't even exactly know what that means, but I guess it was Hoochie Daddy season. And I was partaking in it yesterday, last night. Yeah. Actually, I saw a very, just tell a short story about my gym experience yesterday because I was so horrified. You know, like Planet Fitness is kind of like, well, weirdos go there.
Oh, yeah. Heard that? Yeah, that's my gym too. So yeah, I know.
There was this couple. So at first I was like, you know what, whatever. They like hugged and kissed. So I was like, okay, I guess it's a little weird to do at the gym, but fine. And but then they started sharing machines. So they like they would do, you know how like powerlifters like take a break between sets?
Yeah.
So one would go and then they would change the weight and the other would go. And then during their break period, they would just like hug each other for like 5 minutes.
Oh.
And then they would go to the next machine. And every time I happened to look anywhere, they were always there. I just could not escape.
Oh.
Them. Yeah. And I was, sorry, I was just thinking, oh my God, why is this happening? Why can I not escape these people?
The
congratulations on being in love, I guess.
Yeah. The but hugging not for 5 minutes is a lot.
Yeah, it was too much. They were staring deeply in each other's eyes and hugging for extended periods of time while I'm trying to work out.
Yeah. That's
and
a lot.
I was trying not to laugh because I was just like, you know, because in my head, I was like, this is weird. It's kind of funny, though, at the same time. For me, for them, they're just, and Playface is like, we don't judge anyone. I was judging people. I judged myself and I was judging them. I was like, you know what? I always think like I shouldn't judge these people, but you know what? I was judging. I'm sorry, whoever you guys were, I did judge you.
Oh, yeah. But I not to put a damper on your story. I am that person with my partner when we would go to the gym together.
You guys would hug for 5 minutes like that?
No, we don't hug for 5 minutes, but like we would work out on the same, not the same, but like next to each other on the elliptical. And when we would lift weights, we would switch machines and stuff like that. But that's because he is a power lifter and I don't know what I'm doing. So he would be like coaching me and helping me. So that's what he was doing.
That's perfectly fine. You guys are working out together.
Yeah.
These people were doing more and working out together. They needed their own private gym to be doing what they were doing.
Oh, no. No, not in Planet Fitness.
Yes, I know. Not in Planet Fitness,
not
please.
Not in Planet Fitness.
Not while I'm there, at least. Mm-hmm. Do it when other people are there.
Mm-hmm.
And I always go at night. So I usually go around this time. Like at 9 o'clock, I'll go.
I'm realizing that's
a mistake.
I was going to say, yeah, you're going late at night. Strange people come in at nighttime.
Yes, strange people do. A lot of interesting people. So I don't mind it usually.
Yeah.
Because I like people watching. But this particular time really brought me to the edge. I was just like, you know what? This is not normal. Normal behavior for humans. Yeah. I guess it was normal behavior for humans in their own when they're by themselves.
It was normal behavior for them.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Exactly. Which is why I was so horrified. Because I can't even imagine what they were doing when there's less people there. They were willing to do this with people there. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. That was a big tangent I went on. But
I liked
need
it.
To know. Do not do that, please.
Yeah. Don't boo love in the gym like that, please. Yeah. We're all here to work out.
90% of the people there are just got out of relationships and they're like, I'm here to live my best, try to get into shape and like make it worth. And then now they're just parading themselves around and making everyone upset because they don't have any love like they do. You know, maybe I'm just jealous of them. Who knows? No.
I like that. I like that sort of, you know, self-awareness.
I mean, yeah, it's possible I'm jealous of them, but I think they were just weird.
That's also true as well. It can be that they were just weird. I'm going to go with they were just weird.
Mm-hmm. They were just weird and I was jealous. So it's a double whammy and they should just stop.
Stop being weird at the gym, people.
Yeah. And just work out. I'm there to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And get strong. So, yeah.
There's sweat.
Yeah, exactly. Very bizarre in that gym. Okay, so back to art. What do you think is the most important personality trait for an artist?
Ooh. Good question. Two things came to mind. So I guess two personality traits. Being flexible. Things change. Everything changes constantly. We're all constantly changing. So just be aware of change. Try not to let it fluster you. And I don't know what word to use to describe this sort of personality trait, but just being able to work through your feelings about rejection.
Hmm. That's a good one.
Yeah. Where, you know, it's like, the dream is you're going to walk into a room, do an audition, blow everyone away, and you're going to get every part you ever wanted. That's not going to happen. So just knowing how to work through your feelings of rejection, especially if you are just starting out. And I'm saying this for me personally, to myself, you're going to hear no a lot. So just learning how to not take the no super personally and just keep going on your journey. When one door closes, another one opens, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. But being able to handle rejection is a really, really big one that I really had to learn. That was a tough lesson for me.
That's a very good one. And to everyone out there who wants to be an artist, I honestly like people saying no. Because then I know I'm closer to the next yes.
Mm-hmm.
So all you need is one yes, and then you can just build off that.
That's really all it is. All you need is one yes. That's all it takes is one yes. Because the one yes will lead to another yes, lead to another yes, blah, 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 blah.
Exactly. Even if you get 1,000 no's, that means the yes is about to be, that means you're going to get like 8 yeses in a row eventually.
Exactly.
Just the law of averages. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are very good. No one's brought that up yet, so that's a great one. But asking, it's kind of a new question I've been adding.
Ask people. I like it. It's a good question.
Hey, so this is a nothing to do with art question, but this is one I've been asking everyone. This episode has gone. I think this is one of the better episodes, honestly, because we've talked about many things. But so this one is, I've been asking every alumni artist this question.
Okay.
Do you believe in ghosts/spirits? And if you do, do you have a paranormal experience that you would like to share?
Yes, I fucking believe in ghosts and spirits. Absolutely, 100%. I know that shit is real. I don't want anyone to tell me different, because if you're trying to tell me that I'm wrong, I don't care. I know that shit is real. Have I personally ever had an experience with ghosts? Maybe. I was at home one day by myself. My mom was going to get home from work, and I was sitting on the computer playing computer games like a kid in the 90s. And I was playing a game, and I said, out loud to myself. And then all of a sudden behind me, there was like a staircase. I was sitting in the living room. All of a sudden I heard, back. And I turned around and no one was there, obviously. I was home alone. So I don't know who the fuck that was. Maybe it was a ghost. It wasn't my Echo, I know that for sure. But I don't know what that was. Other people in my family have had experiences with the paranormal. Like my great aunt has seen ghosts. My mom has seen a shadow of my grandfather who had recently passed away. She's seen his shadow before, she's heard his voice. So, and I believe her. I believe everyone in my family who says they've seen shit. So one of my cousins, actually, he sees ghosts all the time.
Really?
All the time? Yeah. Wow. Yeah. He'll see ghosts all the time. So I believe them. I believe ghosts are real 100%. I haven't had a real true personal experience. Honestly, I feel like I would shit my pants a little bit. But I love ghosts. Love what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing. Respect them. If you want to talk to me, I'm available. If you don't, that's also cool.
I've seen ghosts, but one thing that always...
Pause. You've seen ghosts?
Yeah, I've seen them a few times. But what I would like to say is, it's not that bad seeing them. It's hearing them.
Oh,
because
yeah.
When you don't know what it is, because it's honestly, ghosts aren't scary. People are more scary than ghosts.
Because
they actually do stuff to you. Mm-hmm. So, like, if I'm just like hanging out by myself, I'm like, I hear something. Like, my first thought is, oh, it better be a ghost, honestly. Because if it's a human, not good.
Yeah.
They're in my house somewhere. Someone's in the house messing with me. But yeah, I've actually told this story like 10 times on the podcast because everyone.
Well, this is the first time for me.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why I keep telling it, because it's a good one. If for everyone to know. So this actually happened very, very recently, but I've seen them. I've seen glimpses all my life. They like to hang out, and I know I can like feel them being there, and they don't bother me. We have mutual respect. They know they don't bother me. I won't bother them, and we can hang out. But this ghost, for some reason, on April Fool's Day. So yes, I got April Fooled by a ghost this year, and I went to sleep on the day before April Fool's Day. Woke up at 3 a.m. and there is an old man floating above me. Just the upper half with like a Casper tail tip. And he was wearing a green hat. Yeah. It was very, so I was staring at him and I was like, let me see. Am I asleep? I'm not asleep. I don't just wake up normally. I'm usually just out cold when I do fall asleep. So I stared at him and he was just looking at me. So I said, let's not do this now. It's too late. I'm tired. And he just kept staring. So to like shoo him away, I went to put my leg through it. And my leg kind of just like phased through him.
And
went right over. And I was like, oh, what does this mean now? What are you going to do back? Because I thought that maybe that would make them angry because I just kind of kicked them.
Yeah.
And I was kind of just like stuck there. Him directly above me. So I was like, this is awkward, I guess. What I was thinking, and then he kind of just looked at me and then flew out my like above me was my window behind my head. And he just flew out the window, and then that was it for that last experience.
Oh my god, Hunter.
I guess that was 4 months ago. Yeah,
Hunter, that is fucking amazing.
It was weird. So then I'm so used to them. I was just like, okay, time to go back to sleep. Because they don't scare me. I know they're not going to hurt me. They can't really. Most of them are not bad. Let's say 99% of ghosts are not bad.
That is so fucking cool. I'm so jealous.
Everyone on the podcast always believes me. But none of my friends believe me.
I believe you. I believe you 110%.
Artists understand. They're more open, more receptive to things.
That is very true.
Extraordinary. And people, like a lot of my, so I grew up with a lot of like very gifted intellectually people. Mm-hmm. And I would say I am also, but I'm more balanced out. These people, like, I think there's two types of intelligence, like emotional intelligence and then like math intelligence, like that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm very balanced. I have good for both. These people are very intellectually great and very great at school. And are going to become like lawyers and doctors and like agents and do all this stuff with money.
Yeah.
So when I tell them about this stuff, like this stuff, they think of me as their crazy friend because weird things always happen to me. And then I like tell them, they're like, well, that's, if that actually happened to you, Andrew, that's insane. Cause it never, stuff like this does not happen to them, or they have other ways to rationalize things.
Yeah. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah. So we went to dinner like the 2 days after, all of us, and we were just hanging out talking, and I was like, yeah, so this happened. They're like, just kind of felt like I was on The Office. Like they all just looked at me like I was crazy, and then we're like, okay, and then just kept talking. I was like, what the heck? And then I brought it back up later. I was like, why did no one believe me? And they're like, well, Hunter, I don't even know how that's possible. Like, I never seen a ghost. And I was like, I guess.
Shut up. There's so much, like, not to you, but like, shut up. Like, there's so many things that should not be possible that we don't know how are possible, just like in nature and science, that are fucking like outside of the realm of possibility, that ghosts probably exist. Why is that such a
I don't think it's hard to understand personally.
I don't think either.
There's got to be. Like, energy can't be created or destroyed or something like that.
Exactly.
Isn't that some science thing? So, what happens when we die?
Exactly. Who knows?
We gotta go somewhere. Whatever we got going on in our head.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's interesting.
I love that question. Please keep asking people that question.
So, people have had, you know, what's funny? No one said, I don't believe yet. Every single, I think I've done, asked 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
10 alumni. And they've all had something interesting to say that they believe. And some people are like, yeah, I believe in like magic and like spirits. Some people are like, I believe in like energy. There's always something that, and it's somehow all connected. They always bring it back together.
Yeah. I also believe in magic. I think that shit is real. So I believe in magic. I believe in fucking ghosts. I believe in all of it.
I'm not sure about how much I believe in magic. I hope it's real. But I believe in spellcasting for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I think, like, bullying is, like, evil spellcasting.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, for sure.
It's pretty obvious, honestly, when I try to explain to them. Like, well, it's called spelling, mm-hmm. and we talk to people. So, like, I can say something mean to you. And especially when we're, like, younger, it's mm-hmm. people are more susceptible to your spells, I would say.
Yeah.
It's like, I could bully you. Or you say, like, oh, your art sucks. You should stop being an artist. And if you are able to believe that, because words do have power.
They do.
You kind of cast a spell on them like that. Oh, they suck at art.
Yeah.
And that could not be true. But if I also, you can also reverse it and tell people like, oh, your art's so good. You should mm-hmm. keep going. And that's kind of spelling, casting spells like, oh, this person, now you think you're good at art.
Yeah. It's so, like a curse versus like a regular spell. Yeah, yeah. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, that's the type of magic I kind of like believe in.
Yeah. Yeah, that definitely makes sense.
So no one's the, I mean, like magicians, but you know, they always got tricks. None of them are too real besides that one. There's like one guy I see sometimes I think might actually be magic.
Oh!
He always does like magic in the hood. And then everyone, you know, like that guy. I forgot what his name was. His TV shows. I mean, he looks really weird. I forgot what his name was. He's got like a weird look to him.
Oh! I love magic. That reminds me of there was this Disney Channel original movie that came out a million years ago called Now You See It, and it was like a magician camp or like a magician contest for kid magicians, and there was this one kid who was actually magic. Like, he could do real magic, and I was like, yes, this is it. This is what I've been waiting for my entire life.
It's the that's actually a very good concept for a movie. Everyone's going to magic camp, but one person's actually magic.
Yes, he was really magic, and someone else at the camp knew, and they were trying to hunt him. It was so cool. Fuck. Now You See It. That's what it's called.
I've seen that. I don't remember that great. I don't really remember like Minutemen. And
Minutemen was good. Minutemen was good.
Yeah, I really like that. I think that could. I mean, I don't think that will happen like that. Like, it's always some high schoolers figure out how to freaking travel time. I don't know if it's gonna be them. I think it's gonna be someone like 20 to 30 is more likely to figure out how to do that. I'm probably only saying that because I'm that age. I'm 24, so I'm like, yeah, someone my age could figure it out.
Yeah.
When I'm 30, I'm going to be like, when I'm 40, I'm going to be like, no one 20 younger than me could figure that out. You have to be 40 to 50. It's going to change as I get older. Yeah, everyone's younger than me is dumb. Just how it is.
Yeah, like Martin McFly was, like, what, like 17, 18? Yeah, fucking time traveling. Yeah,
he's still in high school. But the doc figured it out. He was like,
yeah,
90 years old.
Yeah, doc figured it out. Yeah, he's a million years old.
Yeah.
In retrospect, watching those movies puts a lot of questions into my head. Those used to be, and still are, some of my favorite movies. I used to be obsessed with Back to the Future. And now that I'm older, I'm like, why was this high schooler hanging out with this grown ass man? What was going on here?
Weirdo internship he got going on there.
Yeah, only things that could happen in the 80s.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to go hang out with my friend. Oh, who is it? The doctor.
Dr. Emmett Brown.
Yeah. He's making a time machine out of a car. Mm-hmm. I want that car so bad. They just came out with an electric version of it.
I know. I've wanted a DeLorean for a good chunk of my life.
Mm-hmm. My dad used to have one, and he sold it like before I was born. Yeah. Missed opportunity there for me to for that to be my first car. Would have been like, I just want suicide doors. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, me too. I've heard they're actually like
horribly
cars.
Dangerous. Yeah. Oh, the DeLoreans are horrible cars also, and the doors are so dangerous.
Yes,
so my insurance would have been insane.
Yeah,
but I would have been cool.
Would have been cool.
Yeah,
it evens it out.
Yeah, it evens out. Exactly. Cool and safe do not really coincide. So the more dangerous things you're doing, people think you're cooler.
Exactly.
But then bad things will happen to you. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's give and take. You gotta pick one. Okay, so we're nearing the end of the podcast. Aww. But I do have a few more. I have one more question for you. Okay. I guess I have two more questions.
Okay.
Is there something that I should have asked you about?
You should have asked me my star sign.
Okay. What is your star sign?
I'm a Gemini.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Me too.
Stop. When's your birthday?
Yeah. June 20th. I'm also a cusper.
Oh, yeah, you're a cusper.
You know what's funny? Me and Jeremy born the same day.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cute. I love that. I am June 15th, so June not 15th? A cusper. Yeah.
You're getting close, though.
I was getting close, yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty amazing. See, I've met a few Geminis on the show. The one other person has brought up being a Gemini, and we had a really good podcast also. So I think the Gemini combo is just very good.
Yeah, it's air signs vibe off each other. We like to talk.
Yeah, we do. That's my family sometimes, my mom complains, like, Hunter, you talk too much on your own podcast. It's about everybody. Yeah. Like, well, yes, but I want people to also know about me.
That's exactly what it is. It's like you're talking and then it's like, oh, a little bit about me, and then you keep talking a little bit about me. My yeah, exactly. My mom and my sister are also air signs, so growing up you can only imagine it was just like a lot of talking.
My mom and my sister are both born in October, which I think is Leo or something.
We're in Leo season right now.
Oh, no wonder.
I think it's about to be like Scorpio season.
Scorpios think they're the shit.
Scorpio in like something else, but Scorpio is usually like October, November. Yeah.
One thing I will never understand is why everyone hates Geminis. They always have bad things to say.
That's because they think we're two-faced. I'm like, no, that's not it.
Sorry. Which just brings back to why I judge people. Apparently, that's part of it. It's like, Geminis are like the judge.
We judge people. Yeah, apparently we're judgy. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. I'm going to judge you, but it doesn't change the way I feel about you. It's just, I'm going to have my own thoughts about what you're doing.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And so me and Jeremy are both cuspers, as they say. And I think that kind of adds to our two-facedness. I don't really see it, but... We got the crybaby. So people, when they see him in Cancer, like, oh, so you're a crybaby? I don't understand what that means. More emotional?
Yeah, Cancers are, like, emotional. That's what they're known for. The water signs. Air is different. Fire is different. Earth is different. Water is different. Water is known for being... Those are the emotional signs. So water is, like, they're very, like, crybaby, blah, 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 blah. I know a couple Cancers, and they're very sensitive. That's what they're known for, is like being sensitive.
That's very interesting. I don't really see myself as too sensitive.
Yeah.
But I guess that maybe when I was younger.
It depends. You know, you can be sensitive, probably depending on like the situation and things. Or you can be more Gemini and be more like, bouncing around bubbly. It just depends. Mm-hmm.
Agreed. I also think the water and the ice create the water and the air sign creates ice sign. So that's my prediction.
Yeah, you can do that too.
Ice prediction.
Yeah, I like that.
A brand new sign, sign.
I'm dabbling in the elements. I feel very Avatar-less Airbender right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agreed. If I had to pick, definitely, I think water and air are definitely too strong. Of an elements, because you can control half the world basically.
Yes,
not more than half the world, because we're surrounded by air and we're surrounded by water.
Yeah.
So if an air and a water sign could take over the entire world, since I'm both, sorry guys, taking over.
Oh my god, that's right, you win.
Yeah, just automatically.
Yeah.
Okay, so one last question.
Okay,
do you have any questions for me?
I have so many questions for you, especially about ghosts. I want to know everything you've ever seen about ghosts. I want to know every single interaction in detail.
In detail.
But questions for you. I want to know what your idea is for your animated thing that we were kind of talking about earlier, because you said you have ideas for animated projects. I want to know about them.
Okay. So, I guess I'll start with the ghosts, because those are kind of all very short. When at my first house I remember actually being in, we used to move around a lot. Mm-hmm. There's this house in Westchester on Watch Hill Road, and it was very close to my schools I used to go to. But I just remember looking up at like kind of like the stairs and seeing someone there. I couldn't tell who it was, and I always like felt something there. I was like sitting near the stairwell, because you can kind of see it from where we were sitting in the living room. And I felt like sometimes I'd look and I swore I saw someone there. For like, and it wouldn't always be one person. It was usually one person, but sometimes there'd be a second little person. Like someone
a little younger. Person.
Mm-hmm. And they'd both be like peeking up looking at us.
Oh.
But so when they asked my mom about it, she's like, oh, I know who you're talking about. That's the woman that used to, that hangs out in your room. And
I was like, what? What?
She says that she just hang out in there. And I used to cry as a baby. My mom used to be used to ask her to help. I'd be like, could you just help him out? I don't want, I can't deal with this. But every time I would cry, my mom would see her walk out my room because she would get annoyed. She like, I can't deal with this kid crying right now.
You had a ghost babysitter.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I don't know if they were watching me. I think they were just, I was just in their room.
That could be true. I'm going to go with the ghost babysitter angle. I like that for me. That is so fucking cool. I fucking love ghosts so much.
And then I guess as I got older, I saw them less frequent. And then I got really into spirituality for a couple of years there. When I was like 19 to like 22,
mm-hmm.
I would say. Like, so... I was just more receptive to energies and when they were changing. And I used to go to like a lot of parties. So I'd be at these parties and eventually I could like feel the demon coming into the party and I'd be like, well, I guess it's time to leave.
Huh?
When things get like a little sketchy at the events that I'd go to. Mostly when I was, I think Philadelphia is kind of like you know, alchemy circles in that movie?
Or yeah.
The anime? I think, so like one time I saw the city layout, and I swear it looks just like an alchemy circle.
Philly?
Yeah, Philadelphia is basically just an alchemy circle.
The way I
all the streets are lined up, and because all the houses are touching each other.
Yeah.
So it's just one giant alchemy circle. And I was like, this is weird. I just remember thinking it was really weird. I was like, this looks so bizarre. And then I saw that show, and I was like, this looks just like the city of Philadelphia, the map I saw.
I believe that.
I was like, For and then sure. they had that scene where they were like, oh my God, the city is an alchemy circle. And I saw that. I was like, what
that's
the
Philly.
Hell? I was like, what the hell? What is going on? I was like, why have I felt like this for my city? And then in Philadelphia is like this horrible murder rate and all these bad things.
Oh yeah, I know. I grew up like an hour outside of Philly.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I think it was set up as like a bad area. On purpose, kind of, once they started doing things. But in that city particularly, I could feel, once the party was, like, well underway, I could totally feel things, like, everything started getting, like, red hues, and I could feel that it was just no longer, something was there, kind of, like, bringing its intentions into, like, on... Like, it's something was putting its will on the people to be more crazy or more, like, I wouldn't say evil, but just more survival mode.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting, because I've never experienced that anywhere besides. And I would see it very often in Philadelphia, but never anywhere else I would go.
Ooh.
So
I mean, that makes sense. There's probably a lot of shit there. It's one of the oldest cities.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, there's some shit in there.
Yeah, 100%. There's...
It's like when I go to New Orleans, like, there's a lot of stuff down there.
Yeah. New Orleans is definitely one of those cities that can be a lot of fun, but the demons definitely come out at night to come hang and party.
Yeah, for sure. I know they do. I know they do.
And then for my animated show, I guess the most prominent one that I've been working on, the idea is called Dreams. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of weird dreams. They're like very vivid and they're usually, sometimes they're scary. I guess to most people they'd be scary, but to me, when they're scary, I'm always watching from like a third person perspective from above. So it's kind of like just a show.
Okay.
But the first episode is going to be, it's going to be only connected through when the moments that the main character is waking up.
Oh.
And then something would happen at the end of every episode when they wake up.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only connection, but so the first episode is I like wake up in the middle of a forest and it's perfect weather, surrounded by trees. It's very beautiful. And then Bugs Bunny comes down on a bike, like flying. And he is pedaling in the air. So like he's like E.T. and how they used to pedal and they would like fly.
Yeah.
So it's just like that. And then he comes up next to me and starts pedaling as fast as he can. And looking behind, so like I can see behind in the background, he's the background, he's the foreground not moving at all. And in the background, the faster he pedals, the faster the seasons are changing behind him. So it's going from like winter, fall, summer, spring, just over and over and over again. He's like changing time. And then he like breaks really quickly. But I'm still in the perfect beautiful weather, but he's changed the background. He stops and then looks at me, takes a carrot and goes, "What's up, dick?" And then just snaps the carrot, takes a bite, and then the dream ends. Instead of, because I don't think I can say "What's up, doc?" anyway.
Yeah.
Without some type of copyright. So, yeah. And then I guess podcast has gone way over the time, but it doesn't matter. In the end, it does not matter. So I'll give one more episode idea I had because I really like this one. And these are all dreams I've actually had. Also, I had this. So this is an alien family, and this was actually like a commercial that I was dreaming. And so it's just family, and in the, you know, like the Ford F-150 commercials, they're always like, "The Ford F-150
yeah.
is the great." So this one is like, "The Ford F-150 is the greatest car in the whole universe, perfect for families." And instead of it being a Ford F-150, it's an alien family driving a golf cart. And they're underwater. Like, the whole thing is underwater. But they're driving on, like, land. So it's like a regular house, but it's just like a water square somehow for this family.
The squid family.
Yeah. And then it pulls into their garage and their dad's in the bucket just doing something crazy. Cause he's like, it's the bucket's full of air and not water somehow. And then I don't know exactly, I wrote it down somewhere, all these cause they're dreams. So
yeah,
but something happens. And then the narrator is still talking the entire time. Like, "Watch this family go fishing," and they're in the water, and so they're like, they're fishing in the air, like doing whatever, because it always looks like, oh, the manly man has this car and they're like in the middle of the woods like fixing something random. And then they put down like the now the trucks have those things where like the truck part, the sides come down, I guess the storage area.
Oh yeah, I know what you're
talking about. Then some of them have like that workspace with the computer.
Yeah,
like puts it down, starts working on like some fake laptop that's not real. There's like it's like, "I'm working," and the kids are playing in the garage. Yeah.
Best oh, yeah. One. I love that. That's fucking hilarious.
So that would be my anime show to start. Those are the first two episodes.
I can't wait to watch it.
That's who I'm looking on Fiverr for, because I think those would be quick and easy, cost $100, and I would just do all the voice acting myself.
Okay, yeah. Well, I look forward to watching it. Please send me a link. Please let me know if there's a GoFundMe, a Kickstarter that I can donate to. Just let me know.
I will. Thank you. I know I have at least one supporter now.
Yeah, me.
Yeah, it's good. Geminis have to support each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're at the end. But before it's over, I want to give you a chance to plug all your social medias, your websites, your GoFundMe's, Kickstarters. Tell people to check out your shows, whatever you want to do. This is your time to just say whatever you want.
Okay. Well, I don't really use my social medias a lot. I have a Twitter, which is at Allie, A-L-L-I-E, _N, as in Nicole, which is my middle name, _M, as in Mitchell, which is my last name. And that's that. My Instagram is kind of similar. It's Allie, A-L-L-I-E, .N.Mitchell, M-I-T-C-H-E-L-L, at Instagram. Let me pull up the podcast stuff so I can plug this, because Lord knows that I don't use my own personal social media, because I mainly forget it's there, and I also use it for memes and memes only.
That's what it's meant for.
Exactly. My podcast that I am on with a couple of my friends, which is the Comedy Sex Podcast, is called The Tickles Bitty Show. You can find us on Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, whatever. And our Instagram is at TigOlBitties Show. And that's also where we are on Twitter and Facebook, if y'all do that. And my other podcast that I'm on with my friend Tony is called The Black Nerd Project, and we are on Twitter at BLK Nerd Project. And that's where we are. And we're gonna start posting episodes soon because we've been recording some new stuff and we're really excited about it. And I think that's all for my social media. Again, I don't really use my personal one, so you can follow me there if you want. You're just going to see a bunch of bullshit. I would encourage you to follow the podcast social media. Those are fun. That's it.
I just realized the play on words for one of those podcasts.
Yes. Very nice indeed.
I can't believe I didn't realize it the first time. Okay. All right, well, thank you so much for being on the podcast. It was very, very fun. One of my favorites for sure.
Thank you for having me. I had so much fun.
Yeah. Maybe if we do get the show, you'll definitely be invited. I feel like
yes,
we could put our creative minds together and come up with some good skits for the show.
That would be fun. I would love that.
All right, everyone. This was the Moss House Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you in the next episode. Everyone have, I guess, hopefully you're listening to this at night, like when we recorded it. If you are, have a great night. If not, good morning, and we'll catch you guys next time.